Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
It's a Tuesday edition.
We have to clap.
One, two, three. One, two, three. There we go. It's a Tuesday edition here on Zero Block 30, and today we have four rounds in the magazine. But before we get going, I have to say big, big news in my world. I just had a stock tank delivered to my house. I'm so excited.
For those who don't know.
What is that?
So a stock tank is supposed to be for cattle. Like if farmers bring out, they bring them out to the middle of their pastures and they will fill them up. And they can have 700, 800, 1,200 gallons of water. So they know that their cows are going to have, or their livestock are going to have water for a long period of time. Well, because I've been on Pinterest a lot, I've been seeing people turn these stock tanks into like mini above ground pools. The one that I got is 8 feet around and 2 feet deep. It's actually a lot bigger than I would have expected. Like when it was actually pulled up on the truck, me and the guy got it out of the truck. We rolled it to my backyard, somehow picked up a little piece of dog poop on the way. And so whenever we were rolling it, sat right on a dog turd, rolled it around with it. We put it in the backyard. And now I got to get some sand to level out the area that we're going to put it in. I'm going to build a little deck behind it, have like some music going out there, listen to some Garth Brooks, crush some Lone Star Lights in there. It's going to be great.
Wait, this is going to be a pool for you?
Oh, yeah. Pool for me.
All you need, really.
I put it in the group chat. Look how big it is.
I saw it. It just looks like it's more made for animals.
Oh, it's definitely made for animals. Yeah.
Okay. As long as you can float on a tube in something, that's all that matters. You don't need it to be deep. You don't need it. Once you're an adult, all you want to do is float on a tube, and you can definitely do that on this. So I'm excited.
Exactly right.
Also, it was your birthday this weekend. I saw you had your whiskey cake, which looked fabulous. It was also Gus's birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday to Gus. Gus's birthday was the bigger deal. He turned 8 years old. He loved it. He had my wife made him a pumpkin and peanut butter pie for him to have with whipped cream on the top, and he ate it like a cute little boy that he is. I had the whiskey cake. We had some salmon and edamame last night.
What's whiskey cake? I've never had that.
So it's kind of like a date cake, and then it has whiskey that's added to it. We added, I think, Remington Rye is what we added to it, and then you do a buttercream sauce, like a brown buttercream sauce, and then homemade whipped cream that goes on the top. It is unbelievably good.
It certainly looked good.
I know. Looked wonderful. Also, I feel like we'd be remiss not to bring up that our boss interviewed the commander-in-chief of our United States military.
Hard-hitting interview.
Hard-hitting interview. A lot of little softballs tossed over there. But yeah, that was big in the news last week, at least in the Barstool world, and again, people angry on all sides. Really nothing. No way to win on the internet, I have found. Yeah,
people always get mad at us. Like, what the fuck you want us to do?
Yeah, I have no idea.
People were mad at us?
Like,
we got a bunch of stuff. Like, oh, you need to speak out against this. Like, it's the president of the United States offered a sit-down meeting in the Rose Garden.
Yeah.
Like, right outside the Oval Office. And you take that 10 times out of 10.
A billion percent. Yeah. And number two, I don't mean to, you know, pull back the curtain here, but Dave doesn't ask us for permission to do anything.
Yeah, surprise. Yeah.
He doesn't ask anybody.
No. So, like, what are we going to do?
I'm getting DMs from people like, just letting you know, this is where I hop off the bar stool. I'm like, thank you, stranger. I don't give a fuck. But anyway, I also loved that Dave's dad and his uncle have their own radio show on Barstool, and they are both extremely outspoken about how much they hate Trump. So Dave Portnoy's own dad, like, hates Trump, talks about it all the time. It's the only show on Barstool that is political all the time, but, like, nobody cares because they're just always rambling away about how,
well,
how
much and because you know Dave's not going to fire his dad.
Right, Dave's not going to fire his dad.
Dave's blog been on the record as saying that that's the only reason why his dad's still alive is because he has to wake up and do a radio show.
But what I loved is that, you know, they're always talking all this shit on Trump. They hate Trump. And then Dave FaceTimes his dad from the Rose Garden with President Trump. And this is, you know, Cousin Mike's one opportunity to say everything he's been saying on the radio, everything. And he just goes, please tell my son to call me more. Yeah. Like, you know, it's one
That's
of those.
That's a classic dad thing to say.
It reminded me of Sex in the City when one of the gals is like, whenever I run into Big, I know exactly what I'm going to say. And it's, I curse the day you were born. And then she runs into him and she's like, hello. Like, there's
it's,
no.
I mean, with this stuff, like the people who really, really hate President Trump, it's almost like you're that middle-aged person at the grocery store that was kind of treated poorly by the cashier, and then you just replay the conversation a million
over
times in your head on the way home. Like, you know what I would have said? Yeah. I'd have said, fuck that bitch. Yeah. That's what I would have said. I'd have been like, hell no, motherfucker. That's what I would have done whenever I was riding home. No, you wouldn't have. Shut up.
Yeah.
I mean, I've long...
Kate, you're on the record saying you do that a lot. Right.
Oh my God. Like that's how I live in my head. Yeah. Even with this stuff, I'm like, people are like, Kate, would you have gone to interview Trump? And I'm like, I really like to think I wouldn't have, but, and then in my head, I'm like, bitch, you know, you're such a pushover. You would have just done whatever. Like, yeah, no, but, yeah,
it's hard to separate the man from the office, but the opportunity, not a lot of people get to go to the Oval Office and go to the Rose Garden. So I don't know how you pass that up. I just think that's way too cool.
Do on the record, like, it's not shocking to anybody that I think he's an asshole and a bad person. Yeah, but Trump,
right, let's
Dave.
Get going with the
there,
actual show today.
I had to get that out. I'm on Mr. Portnoy's team.
People were confused on which side of the fence you're on there, Kate. Let's go on with the show. We got four rounds in the magazine today, and they're all great. Round number one. Are weaponized baboons attacking terrorists at a drive-through zoo in the UK? We sure like to think so. Baboons, man. I used to be a huge monkey guy, like even watching Friends, I was a big Curious George guy. In fact, I don't know if I've said this. I have 9 hours of collegiate credit dealing solely with both brachiating and non-brachiating monkeys.
What?
I feel like I remember you saying that at one point.
I was a huge monkey guy in college. Took a bunch of courses on anthropology, studied monkeys for a while. I'm a big fan of Gibbons. Everybody knows that.
Oh, huge Gibbons. Longtime Stoolie Gibbons.
Oh,
of
brick
course.
By brick Gibbons. So we're going to see if weaponized baboons, if they actually are attacking some terrorists at a drive-through zoo, which I kind of hope they are.
Some tourists.
Round number two.
Not terrorists, huh? But they could.
Well, they could. Round number two. One soldier is injured after an M1 Abrams main battle tank accidentally fired on another tank during a training exercise at Fort Bliss. If you're in the area, watch out for an enormous ball of shit rolling downhill after this one, because there's an investigation brewing. I feel like whenever there's an investigation brewing in the Army now, or the Navy, really, they're the two primary branches that are getting investigated for stuff, that we should have the winds coming in like Mary Poppins. Like, there's an investigation of brewing.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
Fuck you guys. Round number three. Kate's second home, the Chinese Consulate General in Houston, has been ordered to close following allegations of spying. But we're sure they're totally innocent, despite burning a ton of documents in their courtyard the other day. I mean, that always says that you're innocent.
Yeah.
Like, just start lighting shit on fire. And finally, round number four, the Marine Corps Marathon has been canceled for the first time in 45 years. And we're only telling you because Kate wants to remind you that she ran once. And I'm sure Cons will chime in that he's ran a couple of marathons too. Kyle, are you a marathon guy?
No. No. No.
Not, loser. I mean,
the first guy that ran a marathon died right after. That's all I need.
Yeah, that was enough.
True.
Yep.
What?
Good point. And all of that today is going to be brought to you by our good friends at Rocky Boots. Kate made a fantastic ad on Rocky Boots of New Boot Goofing. She was New Boot Goofing going down to the beach. I was New Boot Goofing in the Rocky Boots while I was doing some stuff. And let me tell you, I got that jackhammer. You know, I bought the jackhammer. It got here in a huge case. I thought this thing Even though I bought a jackhammer, I thought it was going to be smaller than it is. It's huge. It's like 60 pounds, and the spade on it alone that breaks up stuff is super heavy. I dropped that fucker, and luckily for me, I was wearing my Rocky boots while I was in my workshop, or I probably could have broken my toe, legit, with dropping something that heavy straight on it. But Rocky boots are comfortable. I was wearing out that they breathe well because they have the jungle boots that are authorized by the USMC. So if you have any branch that you're in, they have a boot for you. They are fantastic. They have soft cut outsoles that makes the boot incredibly stable. So if you're going on a long hike or a hump or whatever you're going to do military-wise or non-military-wise, it's a great and comfortable boot to have. Go to rockyboots.com, enter the promo code ZBT at checkout for 25% off your next pair of boots. Rocky Boots, if you want a new boot, goof with Rocky. What a tagline.
It really is. And it brought me back lacing up the Marine Corps certified jungle boots that they have. Mm-hmm. I was texting you guys. I was like, wait, what is it? Is it left lace over right or right lace over left? Like, I remember they used to tell us, I don't think it's like in an official document or anything, but I remember them telling us there was like a certain way you were supposed to lace them. And I was trying to, I think I got it right, but I wasn't sure.
You did a pretty good job. You had the bridge the right way.
Once I had them on, I didn't want to take them off. I was shocked that I could jump in and out of my bathtub with ease in those things, which is something very normal to do. Anyways,
let's get started with the show. Putting on boots and things like that, big time memory.
It really did.
Even when I do barbecuing, occasionally I'll throw on my old camis that I have cut into shorts because you can't tell whenever you're wearing Marpat shorts if you wipe barbecue sauce on them. It just kind of like fits in. Mm-hmm. Like the stains don't even matter. I love that feeling now. Yeah. Like I just to walk around in boots and utes with your boots off and your tan or black socks just hitting the ground, and that's the only thing you're walking around and going straight to the refrigerator and taking a long pool of orange juice. My friends, that's a good afternoon.
Mm. Truly.
I was actually Googling recently. I think it's okay now. I think we're all part of our life where it's okay to wear the stuff that we used to wear when we were in the military. So much so that I've been Googling different field jackets that I might want to get for the fall.
Oh, there you go.
Mm. Mm.
I love wearing my skivvy shirts now. They're so comfy, dude. I don't care.
Yeah, I feel like the ladies have it better in that regard, like with old uniform, because you're not going to get just absolutely boot shamed. Like
are you kidding me? We get boot shamed more than anybody, 24/7, no matter what. Oh, my God. Yeah, but I'm at the point where I pass care now. I've turned gray. So, but I just feel like they're so comfy and they're so light in the summertime to wear to work and stuff with jeans. Honey, do it.
Do it up. All right, let's get going with the actual show today. Round number one, we got some motherfucking baboons that are causing a stir. And Kate put some of the pictures into our sheet today. There's this tiny little, I mean, I guess it's the size of like an old Hyundai Elantra, like a 1991 Hyundai Elantra, super small car that is absolutely riddled with baboons, just riddled with them. There's like 30 on there. Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to tell you this. That's just a stock photo. It's not from the actual.
Damn, I thought that's what was actually going on.
No, but there is. So there's this Knowsley Park Safari drive-through. It's between Manchester and Liverpool in the United Kingdom, which I feel like those two areas are notorious hooligan zones anyway. Like Manchester.
Big baboon area, too.
Big baboon area. Manchester and Liverpool, kind of a rough and tumble crowd is the idea I have in my mind. Hooligans all over the place. So this story of the safari drive-through there kind of makes sense to me. But baboons at a popular safari park there have been spotted with knives, screwdrivers, and even a chainsaw, according to reports.
That's some Jumanji type action right there.
Yes.
Ripping heaters.
The primates at Knowsley Safari Park are already known for their destructive abilities and have been pictured previously pulling things from visitors' cars. But now some staff are concerned that the baboons are being given weapons for a laugh by parkgoers.
Just a goof. So they an old-fashioned baboon knife goof.
Right, so that that people pull into the park, go into the baboon section, roll the window down a little bit, and then hand out weapons like knives and chainsaws to the animals.
Hey, baboon, what do you got? A knife! No!
To see what happens next. One worker told the newspaper, We're not sure if they're being given weapons by some of the guests who want to see them attack cars, or if they're fishing them out of pickup trucks and vans. So if
honestly, is this all the guests? Is it just like the British Royal Marines? Is it just bored ass Marines that are sitting there like, oh, look at those baboons. What should we do? Give them a K-bar.
Give them a K-bar and see what happens. I mean, that's absolutely what they would do. So
I'm sorry.
Not
sure. I got a Leatherman. Give him his Leatherman.
I'm sorry. I just keep picturing that video when he says that. Ah, they're like, good job, just said a knife. I can't a stop knife. Laughing. I'm sorry.
That's exactly what this seems to be. And again, old Chapsy Construction goes rolling through with some tools in his trunk. Are the baboons grabbing them and then go into town? I also love the idea of you get into a little fender bender on the way into the park. You hate the people in the car behind you. And so you hand a couple crowbars out the window for the next car that rolls through.
You're not giving like the elephants peanuts and shit. You're like, here's a fucking grenade launcher.
Yeah, here's a little crowbar goofing.
Like, let's go, bitch.
Nancy Kerrigan, the tires on the next car that rolls through. Let's see. The workers said the animals sometimes do go into people's toolboxes and grab what they can, adding, one of the baboons was seen lugging around a chainsaw. Now,
that's just so nuts.
I mean, I don't know. Another said that they had been found with knives and screwdrivers, and also questioned whether the baboons were being armed by visitors on purpose. The baboons are already known for causing damage to people's vehicles, with one mechanic telling the Sunday Times that they had repaired cars left damaged by the primates. So I love the thought of like a mechanic shop setting up outside of here because they know that cars are going to get fucked up by the baboons. To me, this is a draw. To me, this is only a plus for this safari park, because if I'm a young idiot, you better believe I want to drive through and see if this is true.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. We're in the car right now. Yeah.
I'm screeching there as we speak. But
one of my buddies here in San Antonio actually is one of the main scientists at the largest North American baboon colony, which is in San Antonio. They have hundreds of baboons that live pretty near to where I live. And he said that they're just destructive all the time. Like they tried to put in big trees, like normal trees. The baboons will rip those fuckers down. They don't care. They're strong as shit. They just want to fucking eat. Like that's all they, and throw their poop at stuff. Mm-hmm. Having all of these baboons around, one thing that I could tell you that the zoo needs to incorporate real quick is a fire watch schedule. You can't just have tool trucks without a gear guard posted. You have to have a gear guard in this situation.
They've got to have maybe like a gorilla who's got it shit together, hangs out in there and keeps an eye on all these fellas. Yeah,
Cressy Corporal Gorilla.
I mean, I can remember though, growing up, we would go to Six Flags in New Jersey and we'd go through the safari and the baboons were always, always the most ridiculous of all the animals that you would see. And you always knew somebody was there for the first time when they would put food on their car, because then they knew that you knew the baboons were going to come and just mess their car up. But so I have a question for you guys. Where do you stand just on zoos and animals in captivity in general?
I'm not a huge fan of it unless it's areas that have a shit ton of land. Like I was reading, there's one elephant here in San Antonio that has been kept essentially inside a quarter of an acre pen her entire life, and she's like 60 years old right now. And normal wild elephants can go 50, 60 miles in a given week, like outside their territory and have that big round. Like, it's so sad to watch them. Like the gibbons, like when I did do studying in college, we would go to the zoo and watch them, and they would go from, in the wild, they would go for miles swinging through the trees and things like that. And now they have a 50, 70 foot area. When you think about what they're deprived of as an animal lover, like for me as a dog handler, I hate that shit. Yeah. Like I don't think it's right.
Yeah.
But I do think that there's conservation efforts that happen only if zoos are around too. So it is a double-edged sword. There'd be a ton of animals that'd be extinct without zoos too.
That's a good point. Yeah. That's a good point.
The one in San Diego is cool. There's a San Diego zoo, but then there's that also that huge, it's like on hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of acres where the animals can run around free. My dad and I went and we saw the one of the only like three remaining white rhinos at the time, which I think they're extinct now. And we also saw an extremely overweight, they pop out of the holes and they look around, prairie dog with some sort of gland problem, which was the highlight of the trip. Anyways, but the safari park itself over in the UK said that the baboons was kind of, that was an exaggeration perhaps, that the tails were grown of exaggerations, and that they had been shared to make objects found in the animal's enclosure seem more exciting and unbelievable. But I think, you know, enough stories are coming out. If there's mechanics nearby saying, we're taking care of these tool ravaged cars that the baboons have their hands on. It reopened on June 15th. I'm sure a lot of parents with cooped up kids are like, let's fucking go. This is something to do, whatever. So I bet the baboons are like, let's fucking go. We're back in action. We're back in the spotlight. Let's make this a time to remember.
They probably are standing around the gates like the prisoners on Shawshank Redemption, just shouting fish.
Right, exactly. They had several months to train for this. They're ready. They're coming through. So this led me to ask earlier this morning, you can each take one squad of animals into battle. And as Kyle phrased it, the year is 1300. You are about to go into battle. You get to pick a herd of 50 trained animals to take into battle with you. What are you picking and why, gentlemen?
Okay, you have yours up there first. What do you got?
So I'm going with a massive flock of seagulls. Okay, hear me out. This is more of a mind game. Every time my enemy goes to eat, guess what's swooping down and ruining chow time, which is a big part of morale. Every time they go to get fresh water source, guess who's dropping? They're going to be carrying trash from Kmart parking lots in their claws. Okay, they're going to be dropping that to the fresh water supply. They're going to be shitting all over everything. They're going to be swooping. I'm going to train them to go for the eyes. And there's nothing more terrifying than an angry seagull. That's my flock.
Okay, all right. Cons?
I think the easy answer is if you give me 50 silverback gorillas, I'm just going to wreck house, and that's pretty easy. But I do.
Enough my seagulls poke their eyes out.
A silverback gorilla would grab a seagull and squish it in his hand. Actually, it would be difficult, but I think I might be able to find it. I have a video. One time we were sitting on the beach, and my friend Miles, who is a rather large gentleman himself, he's like probably he's the size of Dwayne the Rock Johnson, because he actually is a body double for Dwayne the Rock Johnson. But one time we were sitting on the beach, he was able to creep up, jump on, and capture a seagull. He let it go. He didn't hurt it. But if that big old meathead of my friend can capture a seagull like that, I'm not too convinced that they're going to be very effective on the battlefield.
My cousins and I have also gotten drunk and captured a seagull. So
there you go.
Okay. All right. I'll rethink.
Yeah.
Oh, silverback gorilla is your answer.
Yeah, silverback gorilla.
Mine is hippos. I would bring a squad of hippos because as a marine, I'm amphibious, so are hippos. We'd have them out there just goofing. They're powerful. They would, if they saw one of Kate's seagulls coming, I think they would capture them in their jaws like a watermelon and smash it to smithereens.
Kyle?
So I go with hippo. Kyle?
I'm going with Irish wolfhounds.
Ooh.
Anyone know what they are? Yeah.
Yeah.
They're big, and they were used as shock troops when the Irish would go to fight each other. They'd send those giant fucking dogs out. And guess what? You got a dog that's 150 pounds, staying 7 feet on its hind legs, running after you. Buddy.
Holy shit.
Well, why would you not change that to wolves?
Because Irish wolfhounds are bigger, I think. I really don't know.
Oh, I didn't know that was a thing.
Irish wolfhounds, and then they'll like sit right next to you, next to the fire.
Yeah,
and
you can have them as a buddy too. Yeah, good morale boost.
Good for
you
morale.
Just got done with a little battle. Now you're gonna sit and drink some pints with the boys, and you got your dog
and the ladies, Kyle.
Yes, Kyle. Wow, well, Kyle. Jeez.
This is 1300.
He's right. He's got a point.
It's true.
He's got a point. Yeah. Well, curmudgeon army NCO said bed bugs. They would take 50 bed bugs, which he's right. They would multiply very quickly. Enemy would be itching. It would really suck. It would get things going. At Gritnock said launching 50 blue whales out of a giant whale cannon.
Yeah, whale cannon would work.
To which somebody said, I accept you as my new leader. A lot of people said elephants because of their loyalty, their strength, all that stuff. 50 ligers. It's like a lion and a tiger mixed, bred for its skills and magic, said Rascally Ryan, which he's not wrong. G Love's dog said Canada geese, no explanation needed. If you've seen that video of the geese attacking the Navy recruits, you would agree.
That's true. If you could have 50 really well-trained Canadian geese.
Angry ones?
But that being said, I don't think you could train a Canadian geese.
Yeah. They're too ornery.
Yeah.
And let's see, the only answer that is right, somebody put a picture of the velociraptors from Jurassic Park. And then heavy squats and coffee shots said, and this answer is the one I think wins, 50 horse-sized ducks Everyone is a gangster until a horse-sized duck shows up. That is correct.
That is true. If yes. I saw a horse-sized duck coming in, I'd tap out immediately. Mm-hmm.
There
I'd
is start something waving scary. The old white flag. Something scary about birds pecking at you that really freaks you out, right?
It is, especially if it's a dirty old buzzard.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. So that's something to think about. Let it roll around in your heads in case we do get transported back to the 1300s.
Good point.
We'll be ready to go.
Round number two. This one we got some DMs about. It is about the army and a little mishap with a tank. What happened with that, Cons?
Well, you know, these mishaps do happen from time to time, which is very unfortunate, despite the fact that we go to great lengths to be very safe when we're doing training. But officials from the 1st Armored Division are investigating an incident involving an M1 Abrams main battle tank accidentally firing on another tank during a training exercise at Fort Bliss on July 20th. The training incident during an M1 Abrams tank qualification exercise was first reported by a defense blog and confirmed to Military Times by Army officials. According to Defense Blog, the exercise included shooting M1002 multi-purpose training rounds at moving targets. They said the Abrams tank hit another tank from its own cavalry regiment from a distance of 2,600 meters, which is a little bit more than 1.5 miles, which is pretty far.
It's pretty far, yeah.
One soldier was injured, received immediate medical assistance, and is recovering in stable condition. The 1st Armored Division has stated an investigation is into the incident, and until the investigation is complete, we have no further comment. So that's where they stand.
A lot of people were saying that they're trying to cover it up, right, Kate?
Yeah, if you look at the tweets replying to these stories from the news sites, this guy Tyler MOH said, "Glad this came out." At first, there was a lot of text message screenshots that made it look like the command was trying to cover it up. And then it was first reported by some defense blog and not the Military Times or the Army Times or whatever. I know, like, we're saying, like, yeah, you know, they obviously have to investigate first before they release this stuff. But I do feel like transparency is always the best, like.
Yeah, but I mean, on the Army side, I'm not doing that.
No.
Like, and that way, it's kind of like Michael Scott, where you're having a press conference where nobody even knows anything. You're trying to get to the bottom of it. And if you reported every incident that you had that doesn't go well, the military looks completely incompetent. Like,
I don't
you
know.
You got to figure it out. What I would like to see is the live footage of the master sergeant who was around the other tank that actually got hit from 1.5 miles away. Cause you know, he had his coffee and was sitting there, was like, doom in the tank. And like, what in the fuck was that? And just so pissed.
Yeah.
So I was looking at what makes this a training round instead of a regular. And I guess the regular ones can go up to like 8,000 meters, but these cut off at about 3,000 meters. But other than that, it looked like they have the same kind of, like, explodey vibe to them is what it looked like to me. So I'm glad that the looks like the soldier is going to be okay, but that has to be.
Oh, that could have been way worse. I mean,
fuel
tank. I'm surprised that they would even have it in that direction where that could happen. Right.
That's
like
what
you would
I'm
think
wondering,
left
like,
and right lateral limits and how far away that they would know maximum effective range and shit like that.
Yeah. So I'll tell you. So anytime you're firing rounds of this size, you know, whether it's in the tank world, artillery world, there are measures put in place so nothing like this is even remotely possible to happen. That right. said, if this did happen, somebody screwed up big time. That's what I think.
The RSO.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously.
The RSO is fucked.
Yeah, no, somebody was driving and probably took a wrong turn. Somebody got somebody lost something because there should not have been another tank in any sort of close direction to where another tank was firing. So this is bad. I do agree with you, though, chaps. I would wait to put a news story out or a press release until we knew what was happening, because just putting out this information, now my mind's going a lot of different directions, and I'm thinking a lot of people are very stupid and somebody fell down on the job here. So
yeah, but there's so much speculation. Like, I just feel like it's enough to come out and say, this happened, we don't know anything right now, it's under investigation, because
right,
then it's on defense blog, everyone's scuttlebutting, well, it's a cover-up, it's like this weird thing.
Yeah, I think you leave it alone until you have answers, because of that reason, because everyone's going to then start to speculate, and then because too many people are going to give their opinion, that you would want to wait until you have answers for people, because also, luckily, no one died, so that's great. But if I were the family of one of these soldiers that was injured, I would want my questions answered right fast and in a hurry. So the fact that they don't know anything yet would be very discouraging for those families, too.
Well, speaking of speculation, I have my theories. Okay.
Okay.
Number one, someone, because it's a direct hit from a mile and a half away, like, holy fuck balls. Okay. We're aiming here. Someone in the tank that fired, he knew that the person in the other tank was sneaking around with his old lady.
Mm.
Okay. This was well planned out. This was something they've been festering on for weeks.
Okay.
That's probably the most likely.
No, that's a good one. Yeah.
Thank you. My other theory is that they're training, they're whatever. There's a lot of stuff going over the radio. They hear coordinates of a tank announcing where it's at, but they mishear it and take that as a coordinates of where they're supposed to fire next. And bloop, off it goes.
It's probably some soldier from Houston, and they were listening to Mike Jones, and they're like 867, whatever it is.
Right, exactly. And then my third theory is that if you put me in a tank and there's this button in front of me where it just shoots something out of a tank,
yeah,
all I want to do is hit that button. Okay. I'm sitting there and I'm waiting.
Now?
I'm in training.
Can we hit it now?
Now? Can we hit it now? Can we hit it now?
No,
and finally, I'm licking my chops. I can't wait. Finally, I just give and I tap that button and whoops, happen to be aim in a certain direction.
Yeah. And you're just sitting there not paying attention. You're fucking around on your phone or on Instagram. And next thing you know, you overhear your buddy and he's talking about going out this weekend and then he hit it and you assume that it means the button and then boom.
Yeah. Also, these people are in the same unit when this person is, you know, hopefully 100% fully recovered. I imagine they have to like, all right, you two, shake hands and make up. Like, whoever shot the thing, like, will they have to know who it is and run into each other from time to time? I would imagine so at some point. And then finally, I think this is a great way to sum it up. At the second, R.L. Rogers said, never underestimate the capability of young people. They'll surprise you. I was a tank commander at age 20. So we do forget there's a lot of very young folks out there
that is true.
I'm sure, like, I don't know. That's a lot of math. And I know for sure I zoned out during any of that shit when I was in. So
yeah, I mean, gunnery math. I like to say, like, people are like, oh, you know, what's it like to learn how to be, you know, shoot artillery? You cannot compare it to any math you ever did in school at any point in your life. It's completely brand new. So you can't even walk off the street and kind of understand what's going on. It's extremely difficult, which is also why I like to tell people, yes, in fact, I am a rocket scientist because I learned how to shoot rockets. So no big deal on that. But it is scary when you think about, like, okay, I was given a lot of equipment at the age of 22, 23 and told you're in charge. And if something happened, I was responsible for all these people. That's a little scary, but
yeah.
Not as scary as what's going on with China, yeah. Kate.
Ooh.
What's going on at round number three?
All right. First of all, a little bit of unsurprising background. China has right now they think there is a widespread thing at consulates and locations across the United States, Chinese consulates, in a widespread effort to acquire U.S. military technology and classified information and trade secrets of U.S. companies. The Chinese government is accused of stealing trade secrets and tech, often from companies here, to help support its long-term military and commercial development, all sorts of different methods of espionage and yada yada. Well, that has come to light, especially in Houston. The Chinese consulate general there has closed following Tuesday's order to do so after U.S. officials alleged it was part of a larger Chinese espionage effort using diplomatic facilities around the U.S. U.S. federal agents and local law enforcement entered the consulate compound in Houston earlier Friday with a series of black SUVs, trucks, two white vans, and a locksmith's van. That's like straight out of the movies.
Like the town. I'm so tired of the black SUVs. Can we just get like a red one? Why do we have to do it in black? You're going in Houston. Yeah. It's not like somebody can't see a huge Tahoe or a Suburban going through.
Chaps, let's even go the other direction. Let's go like a beige or a white. It's very hot in Houston, and black is only going to make the interior that much hotter.
You can go on all kinds of different websites right now and get like aftermarket stretch limo Hummers. Like, what if we do that? Imagine the things that you could put in a stretch Hummer.
Well, I think to make people's heads tilt, a big crew of purple PT Cruisers with flames on the sides would be something.
Be
what the fuck is this pulling up to the consulate? A bunch of clowns
or
get out.
Or jacuzzi trucks.
Yes, a few jacuzzi trucks. They're in their suits, but they're in the pools in the back. Yeah. We really need to mix it up. You're right. That's definitely a big takeaway from this.
But in seriousness, if you wanted to be the quickest way to have like a TAC team to go in, like a SWAT team type, a party bus. I mean, because they have the little poles that you can hang on. You could be in full battle rattle going on, holding on to the side. And they have the wide opening doors in case like a big lady or fellow wants to come. You can just hop right out the door and go.
I think it also shows China if we had a party bus with strippers and blah, blah, blah. Like, I think it shows China we're not that concerned.
Yeah, because we don't blow out like Chinese or nipples or nothing.
Exactly. Like anyway, so this little vehicle convoy comes rolling up to the Houston consulate. And there was a bunch of observers outside, news cameras, everything around the edge of the diplomatic compound. U.S. officials speaking to reporters Friday said the consulate had been implicated in a fraud investigation at a Texas research institute that Chinese consulate officials were directly involved in communications with researchers and guided them on what information to collect. Not great. The activities of consulate officials in Houston are a microcosm, we believe, of a broader network of individuals in more than 25 cities that network is supported through the consulates here, said a U.S. Justice Department official. Yes.
I automatically believe everything in this report because they use the word microcosm.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
If you say this is a microcosm, I'm like, oh, shit.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. That tank incident was a microcosm of much larger scuttlebutt
afoot. I completely agree.
Okay. Consulates have been giving individuals in that network guidance on how to evade and obstruct our investigation. And you can infer from that the ability to task that network of associates nationwide. This comes at the same time as the FBI is investigating the Chinese consulate in San Francisco for harboring a researcher who is charged with lying about her military background. The U.S. has given China roughly 72 hours to cease all operations and events at the Houston facility. And it's considered an unprecedented escalation as ongoing tensions continue to rise. There, obviously, things have kind of started falling apart in the last year. Ongoing trade war, coronavirus, U.S. criticism of China's human rights abuses in Hong Kong and elsewhere. Washington's demand for Houston consulate to close set the stage for federal agents to enter the building Friday afternoon. It also triggered a Chinese demand earlier that the U.S. then close its consulate in Chengdu. And now, once the U.S. told them to close the spot in Houston courtyard, all of a sudden people in the building surrounding it are like, hey, there's smoke coming from the Chinese consulate in Houston. They were in the courtyard burning a ton of documents, and people in higher buildings, just civilians, were taking pictures down into the courtyard, and you could see them in there burning stuff. So not a thing you do when you're totally innocent of being a little espionage-y.
I agree. And one of my favorite aspects of this story is when there's a story that involves Russia or China and the news agencies only put their flags, I'm like, ooh,
I know.
This is going to be eerie. Mm-hmm. Like, you have a story that's about Russia and then it's like, boom, there's the red, white, and blue Russia flag. What's going on with Russia? And then the Chinese consulate is burning documents, Chinese flag. Mm-hmm. Whoa.
Yeah. And our crackdown on them then is kind of in response to, it's like a back and forth, is response to when everything was going down in Wuhan. We went to retrieve diplomatic materials from our spot there, and China interfered with us and was like, nah, blah, 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 which is not, violates the Vienna Convention. So a lot
this
of
is incredibly
a lot of stuff
immature,
going on.
But Wuhan, this is a great word. Great city to just say it. Wuhan.
What do you think? Wuhan. You think of music and you think yep. Wuhan. What is it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Woohoo!
No. I think of Jesus. He had the dreads, the crazy hair.
Long time stoolie Busta Rhymes.
Thank you.
Wuhan,
that's it.
Wuhan. Yep. Got you all.
Oh.
Yep.
That's what I was thinking of. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, interested to see how this continues to escalate. Again, now they have closed down one of our spots in Chengdu. So it's a lot of tit for tat, a lot of back and forth.
I was thinking about going to Chengdu.
That was on the old docket for 2021 when everything opened back up.
It's more of a Cheng don't. Okay.
True. All right, let's move on to round number four. Hopefully things cool down with the Chinese here. Like, we need to really just settle down. Everybody needs to take a breath because you're not going to be running a marathon in round number four. We have a little bit of marathon goofing. This one makes me sad because I just like to see the people on. This is the only race, I think, of the year that I actually don't mind the Instagram stories that I see of people going out and running, because you always see super old vets that are out there, people grinding and things like that. Okay, you did the Marine Corps Marathon. What was it like?
Yeah, honestly, if you ever, because it will come back around again, if you ever have the chance to run one, so many people, and I would agree with this now that I've done it, it is the most positive, good vibes marathon you could ever possibly run. And I think a lot of people like, but the Marine Corps, like a military marathon, how could that be fun?
Does anybody tell you to get in step?
Nobody tells you to get in step. And it's the Marines, of course, all the poor Marines are stuck on the working party. But so there, the whole way, all these enlisted Marines are handing you your water cups. When you finish the race, there's officers there who salute you and give you your medal. And the whole way, they're cheering you on. And if you, especially if you're in the Marines, it's just like such a special thing. And then, you know, one of the final miles when you think you're like, you're ready to fall out and you're exhausted and you have blisters and whatever, they have this huge row of miles and miles of, because a lot of it's for charity. A lot of it goes towards good cause. And they have like the faces of the fallen and their stories that family members have put up and their special sections. And it just, you're like, you start running a little faster. It just really motivates you. And there is one section of the race that looks exactly like a penis from above. If you look at the long, skinny one,
gotta be so, intentional.
I would say so. So very Marine Corps-ish. But yeah, this year it has been canceled for the first time since 1976. It was scheduled for October 25th, but it will not be taking place this year. They explored all sorts of different ways they could do it, but there's no way to safely within the guidelines with everything going on right now with coronavirus. And normally that weekend includes the Fun Mile, a 10-kilometer race, and a 50-kilometer run, and that will now shift to virtual-only status. The good news, virtual event registration is open to the public with entry fees of $45 for the marathon and the 50K, and $33 for the 10K, $20 for the Semper Fun Mile. And so no matter what, they're going to mail you a shirt and a medal. So if you want to do Stolen Valor and be able to
do it,
right, because you're not a runner, if you want to walk around for the day and be showing people your medal and everything, you really don't have to run it this year. You just
Do that, honestly, get a little marathon medal that I did it. That might be nice, so I can have that.
Yeah, it might be the way to go. But it is, because too, there's so many tourists in DC that this is one of those rare marathons. A lot of different ones, you're running by yourself in the middle of nowhere for a lot of it, even in big cities. This one, there's not a single inch of it that is not covered with people cheering you on the entire way. I had family come down at different points and was rooting me on. And like, meanwhile, between the miles, they could tour around the Capitol and like have themselves a nice day too. It was just such an awesome experience. And the best part of doing one is just bragging that you did it. And so that's a really good one too. A lot of good background imagery there. The medal's pretty sweet.
Let me ask you a question. This might be tough to answer just off the top of your dome. Which one are you more proud of, that you did 5 years in the Marine Corps with two tours to Afghanistan, or that you completed the Marine Corps Marathon?
Definitely the Marine Corps Marathon, because my nipples didn't bleed. And that is, if you ever Google marathon plus bloody nipples, I mean, there's a lot of bloody nipples out there. Like, you finish the race and everybody looks like they've been like poked with like a spear twice in their chest. There's like blood. Yeah. Well, so that
were your nipples not bloody just because you walked?
No. But
I saw your time here on the sheet and I just assumed you walked.
So I was putting this in the sheet today and I started to wonder, because people have asked me, well, what was your time? And I've been telling people like, I think like 4:30 or something like that. No, not the case. I looked back. There was 23,513 people ran it. Which, by the way, you get there like 2 hours early in the morning and it is like, it's an enormous crowd, obviously, 23,513 people. I came in 18,000th and fifth place.
That's pretty good.
18,005 people beat me on this course. There was people barefoot. There was firemen in full gear. There was like children and elderly. There was like people speed walking past me the whole time. And so I get 5 hours and 23 minutes is what it took me. Not great. Oh, no. 5 hours and 46 minutes. Holy shit. Ugh. Anyway, I'm a big loser.
Sorry, I just assumed you walked.
It is a bummer, though. Like, so many people try and get into this race. It's like insane. They have to do the lottery for it and everything. But even sadder, the Marine Corps ball also might be going by the wayside this year, gang.
Yeah, balls are shrinking. I think that's natural. I feel bad about the balls going down, because that is one of my favorite moments of the year, is like all the different military balls that happened in November. That is super fun. How about baseball? What a bunch of idiots baseball is. I mean, being back for three games, some of the Marlins tested positive. Now they have 14 people on their team. You're not having a season, folks. You're just not. You're not going to do it.
Yeah.
You mean the Marlins or baseball in general?
I think baseball is going to shut down. I mean, you have within the first week, the first series, you have 14 players on one team. And it's not like even in football where you technically have 70 players on the roster, including the practice squad. These are rosters of 30.
Yeah.
Like 14 out of 30 have it. And some of those players are pitchers. What are you going to do? You can't field the major league roster with 15 players.
No, you certainly can't. And
they can't bring up players from the minor leagues because they're going to have to be quarantined 14 days before they can start.
Right. They're just going to run out of players. It's not like, you know, one game where you could just bring in an outfielder to pitch the last inning because you're running out of bodies in an extra innings game. It's really terrible to see that they haven't been able to figure it out. But then credit to leagues like the PLL, which started this past weekend, and they're doing just fine. No issues.
And not only that, but like on a much larger scale, the EPL, like the English Premier League, they have tested since they started playing back again. 2,300 players have been tested. Zero have tested positive coronavirus. I don't understand why so many other countries are being able to figure this shit out. Taiwan hasn't had a case in forever. New Zealand hasn't had a case forever. And these aren't just small countries. Thailand has 33 million people that live there with zero cases. It's almost like they're listening to the science or something like that behind and how they're doing shit. I just don't get it how we are supposed to be the thought leaders in the world and we are so far behind on coronavirus right now. It's insane.
Well, I'm not wearing a mask. That's my freedom. But yeah, I'm just mad that the Marlins not only beat the Phillies, but probably gave us coronavirus.
It was the first time this weekend I saw somebody get mass shamed in public. It was exciting.
Where were you? What happened?
What happened?
I was at Lowe's and going through there. And this dude was wearing, he's just wearing like a regular old fucking black t-shirt. Comes strolling through the Lowe's section in the lumber. One old crusty dude. Crusty old Mexican guy was getting some other stuff for himself. And he was like, hey, why aren't you wearing a mask? And the guy was like, I don't want to wear a mask. This is America. He's like, it's San Antonio and there's rules. You've got to wear a mask. And then like four other guys are like, yeah, dude, if I'm wearing a mask, you got to wear a mask. Get out of here. Mm-hmm. They're all sending them out of Lowe's. And I was like, oh, let's go. Oh, let's get it.
Everybody knows those Lowe's hardos can be tough.
Oh, they can. And do you not? You guys know that new insurance commercial where they have like a somebody's trying to coach you how not to become your parents whenever you're at Lowe's or you're and they're like, there's a guy with blue hair. Don't say anything. He knows he has blue hair. Like, but he has blue hair. I need to say something. Or he's like standing at the aisle and he's like, oh, if you're looking for a grout spreader, this is. And the coach says, did he ask you your opinion about the different grout spreaders? No, he didn't. I find myself that way now at different spots where I'm like, oh, I want to tell that guy those bits stink. They'll strip out.
You want to start telling people?
Yeah.
It's crazy, though. Again, now that I mentioned running the marathon, I biked to the beach again this weekend, and I needed a place to change my into my bathing suit.
I didn't even know you had a bike.
I do, yeah. Bling, bling. So I needed a place to change my bathing suit, and there was a bar. And this is one of those neighborhoods that is just slathered in thank you essential workers signs, like every house and just really overkill, which not that it's overkill, but it's like,
no,
Kate hates the firefighters and now she hates nurses too.
But it was all about, you know, thank you nurses, thank you whatever on like every door, everything. I go into this bar to use the bathroom. I have my mask on, of course, and just use the bathroom to change into my suit really quick. And it was like I'm going to say 20 people. Like cotton candy haired ladies, like 60s and above, no masks on inside the bar, like no windows open, nothing. They were all just at the bar, in the bar, like blatantly zero fucks given. And I was like, oh my God, like, are you sure you support the essential workers? Because this is not great. I don't know, man. It's nutty. But what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
I guess just continue to be quarantined forever.
I guess.
Let's move into Sam Browns and alibis. Cons, we'll start with you.
Two, real quickly, we were talking about animals in captivity. If you've never seen the documentary Blackfish about the killer whales in captivity, that'll make you hate SeaWorld real fast.
Oh, yeah. You become on Team Steve-O since he's, like, climbing those cranes there now. Yeah. And, like, doing all that crazy shit to boycott him. Yeah,
you get it. And then another recommendation, we were talking about Friendly Fire. If you've ever wanted to see a movie with Friendly Fire, Courage Under Fire with Denzel Washington and Meg Ryan.
Oh, that's a good one, yeah.
Oh,
Kate, have you never seen that?
I've never seen it.
Put it on your list of things that I tell you to do that you're just going to continue to ignore.
I will never watch The Guardian.
Yeah. and then finally, Kate, does it bother you that, you know, even without training, your time comes nowhere near my time, my most recent marathon time?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Very much so. If I had trained, I would have whooped you.
Oh, no, I didn't train either. So, I mean, just that you can increase my time, too. If we're both going to train, well.
Well, I also drank. I also drank that weekend heavily. It was Halloween weekend.
What was your time, Cons?
I'll have to look it up. I think my most recent time was like, quiet. It was 340, 349 was the last marathon I ran. 349.
Look up that bib number. Okay. Let's get on that. I need NCIS looking into this.
Okay. I'm on it. That's all I got. Right,
Kay, what about you?
I drove down to Pennsylvania to see my parents for the first time since I saw them down the shore, but first time like going to see them at their place for the first time since February, probably. So I got my Wawa, got everything. I had a little mask on. I ordered cheesesteaks on the way. I dropped off some cheesesteaks. I said hello. Stayed out on the patio outdoors. But, the old folks, man, they do. No, oh God, no. But it was nice. It was like nice to actually see them. The most embarrassing part was that when I rolled up, my parents and I, some lady there had made us all little Krabby masks for the shore. Aww. And when I rolled up, all three of us had matching Krabby masks on again. Like, coolest family on the block. But it was really nice to see them, get some good cheesesteaks, get my Wawa. I was eating peanut butter Tasty Cakes for breakfast this morning, so I stocked up. So it was a nice thing. It was a good weekend.
Very nice. Healthy weekend.
Yeah.
Kyle?
I want to push some stuff everyone else has been doing. Like, Kate's doing Morning Sunshine, and it is hilarious the way that she interacts with Brandon fucking Walker. It's really fun to watch. Nice came out of quarantine content, but is it going to keep going, Kate, or what?
For now, I mean, it sucks, but it's like it's a very hit or miss show. But yeah, we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. And then we got Chaps with Longtime Toolies, which is a hit.
I changed the name to DIY Goofing to Longtime Stoolie. Kyle made up a great logo for that. We're still doing a little contest where we're giving away a DeWalt table saw, which is a great saw. It's like a $400 saw, but somebody sent me a saw stop, so I'm going to send that to somebody else. I'm excited about that. I did some insulation in my attic this weekend. That took like 2 minutes, which I was shocked that it only took that long. But it's been a good time developing that little program, even if it just makes me not be lazy around my house, which is great.
Yeah.
Anything else, Kyle?
Nope. Just wanted to push all the other stuff that y'all are doing because I know
our
ZBT world kind of stays focused on this. So if you're listening and you want to see him do other stuff and your radio show from 4 to 5.
Oh yeah. Good which call, goes Kyle.
All yeah. over the place. So,
and we also have those DIY goof are not the new boot goofing shirts out now too. So if you want to go get some ZBT merch, those are really fun shirts. Make sure you go check out those
and
just search for goofing in the store.
And I got those. So I took out my old pair of Marine Corps boots. They're just the regular Bates whatever that we were issued. The new Rocky boots are so much lighter. I would have run
better
because I had a pair of Bates lights that I would wear for the running the CFT, the 880. Mm-hmm. If I would have had these, I wouldn't have spent like $130 on stupid fucking Bates lights that were just generally shitty. I would have just worn these boots because they're a lot lighter than you think. So
I thought that too when I picked them up, that they were really light.
Yeah, you almost think something's wrong with them, but they're just much better.
They're
built.
Comfy too. Yeah, I was actually able to run around my apartment in them. So much to my neighbor's chagrin downstairs, I'm sure they loved that. So
all right, that's all it. We'll be back on Friday. Yeah.
I sent everyone a nice picture there if you guys care to take a look.
Yeah, 4 hours and 45 minutes, Kaz. That's terrible.
Oh, that's fucking terrible. You said three hours and 40 minutes. Get the hell out of here.
Integrity violated.
You guys are liars.
You only did me violating.
Where's your watch picks?